Hi guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast, the show dedicated to transforming your life. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Helen, and we're excited to bring you the best information on exercise, nutrition, mindset, and health. Let's get on with the show.
What's up guys, Coach Steve here, and welcome to the Challenge Podcast. In this episode, we're continuing the Meet the Challenger series, and today I've got with me the lovely Lana Gonsalves. Welcome to the podcast, Lana.
Thanks, Coach Steve. It's great to be joining you.
I'm so happy to finally speak to you. I feel like I talk to you all the time via Facebook and Instagram. I never really get to speak to you. So thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the podcast here. But look, let's jump right into it. Do you want to start by introducing yourself, maybe telling us a little bit about where you're from and what a normal day looks like for Lana?
Okay, so I live in WA in Perth, and I am 37 years old. I have one son and two stepdaughters and my other half, and we all live in this jumbled up family that sort of works week on, week off. So every second week is completely different for us. I also work as a policy analyst at the Department of Transport. So I'm actually looking at some really interesting stuff that keeps me stuck to my desk quite a lot, looking at how we're going to have automated vehicles driving on the roads. So we work a lot with the East Coast, and so I work kind of crazy hours. So I start pretty early, but I finish early as well, which allows me to fit in the gym and all my other exercise commitments and non-negotiables, I suppose.
Love it. So you sound like you're a very busy, busy lady there. Now,
Yeah.
Well, tell me then, this is your second challenge, right?
Third.
Your third challenge. Take me back to when you first started the very first challenge. Why did you first start the very first one, and when was that?
So I did my first challenge in May last year. I signed up. My sister-in-law had done the challenge right before that, and I saw the great results that she got. And I've been working out for so long, but I didn't have a trainer and I didn't really have a plan. It was just I'd rock up at the gym and do whatever I felt like. And I guess my biggest thing was that I used to exercise so that I could eat whatever I wanted. That was my reason. I still went to the gym 6 days a week, but I had no plan. All I wanted to do was know that I could eat whatever I wanted to eat, but not actually think about how what I was putting in my body affected my body and how it made me feel beyond that initial half an hour satisfaction that I just smashed a pavlova or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah, that was my first challenge. And then as I got into that challenge, I learned a lot of stuff in that challenge from Craig Harper's mindset posts once a week. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize that I could still enjoy the things that I wanted to, but I didn't actually have to eat. I could still have a pavlova, but I didn't have to have it every single weekend kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't tend to drink a hell of a lot, but chocolate is my biggest vice. So being able to know that I could probably still have a little bit of chocolate every now and then and it wasn't going to be the end of the world. And I'd probably enjoy it a lot more if I was only having it every now and then rather than smashing a block every Friday night.
Yeah.
So that's, I guess, why I started. And then as I sort of followed on with the challenge without officially doing it at the end of last year, and then I got back on the wagon officially in January this year, and I've absolutely loved it. It's just been learning more and more and changing my outlook on being fit and fueling my body properly, mm-hmm. and just how it makes me feel. I reckon in this last year, I've had so much more energy. I don't feel like I've missed out on anything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just having the energy to keep up with running a house and working full time and still having motivation at the end of the day.
That's amazing. So you're saying that you've done, this is now your third challenge that you're completing and you're still learning new things with every challenge. Is that right?
Yeah, that's definitely right, I think. And also the first challenge I did, I reckon I stuck to it about, I'm going to be generous and say 80%, but it was probably around 70 to 75% of the menu. The training has never been an issue for me. I love training, but it's always been the nutrition. And so I guess, and then even last challenge I did, which was January, I followed, I'm probably going to say still about 90%, but and you would know from some of my posts, I'm very big on balance and being able to live and enjoy life and that sort of thing. And I don't think that having basically, I'm the head cook in this house. Mm-hmm. I can't inflict what I want to eat on everyone 24/7. Mm-hmm. I also have two very fussy stepkids who have really come on board and learnt how to eat so much healthier and are actually enjoying the food that we've had in the challenge for since January, since Mary's come on. A lot of the recipes are so family friendly now. I mean, last night we had Mary's chicken parmigiana and I didn't get any, so I had to make an omelette because they ate it all. So, yeah, just things like that. It's so much easier.
Yeah, so tell me, I guess we get lots of families in a similar situation to you where maybe the parents want to make positive changes, but we may have fussy kids and it's hard to feed sometimes. So can you tell us maybe how you overcame that, or, you know, do you have any advice for people in a similar situation to you on how to feed a family while doing the challenge and while trying to improve your fitness and health?
I guess to start off, just looking at the menu and looking at things that like you think your family would like. Like, my kids love Mexican and I know there's taco bowls is on the menu, so every Saturday we got taco bowls and everyone loves them, and I usually end up making heaps because I'll eat my portion that I want to eat and the kids will have two or three serves, but they love it. And also getting them involved. My son, he loves to cook, so he's always in the kitchen and he's always helping out. And I find that when I let them help, then there's more desire for them to eat it because I think they're quite proud of being able to cook for the family. And mm-hmm. we do tell them like what's healthy and what's not. So we do a lot of chips, potato chips in our house are huge. But we've been getting the low-carb potatoes so they can still have a decent amount, but they're a little bit healthier for them. Mm-hmm. So just things like that. I think just keeping everyone involved. The only thing I don't involve them in is in the actual grocery shopping because they get so excited by all the chocolates and all the biscuits and everything in between that it's just easier to not do that.
Yeah. So you're saying to get the kids involved in the kitchen?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I think that's such an important skill that sometimes gets missed, you know, as we grow up, and especially for little guys. You know, I've got some friends that are my age, you know, mid-20s, and they have no idea how to cook in the kitchen or how to chop and prepare foods. And I feel if we can expose more children to how to prepare basic meals, you know, that could be a huge influence on long-term health. So, you know, it's amazing that you're getting your kids involved in the kitchen so early.
Yeah, it's great. And they love it. They absolutely love it. Just being able to do, and sometimes I'll give them a choice. I'll say, what do you want for dinner? And they know, I mean, we generally have similar sorts of foods and they'll pick and choose what they want. And then whoever picks and chooses will help out with the cooking. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
I like that. So tell me, in this current challenge, this May challenge that we're going through, what has been your biggest challenge?
Good question. I'm actually thinking.
Well, let's jump onto the polar opposite side. Well, what has been your biggest win over the past 12 weeks? What has been the biggest achievement and accomplishment that you made over the past 12 weeks?
Yeah, okay, so that's easy. I guess I said before, I've been going to the gym and working out for a long time and I've always liked lifting weights or squatting and stuff like that. But one of the things I've really enjoyed this last 12 weeks, and I've said it to you before, is being able to be taught the correct technique. And people might not necessarily think that that's actually possible via an online challenge, but I had a personal trainer and I don't feel like I ever got as much technique instruction. I guess having someone talk to you about it for half an hour and actually go through videos and tell you how it should look or how it should feel, as opposed to being told as you're doing it for a set of five or whatever, half an hour in the gym once a week. Yeah. And then also being able to then put the things you learn into practice and then get critique back on it. I was deadlifting for years and I'd walk away from the gym and I never saw back for 2 days and I never saw anything of it. I just thought, oh, that's how you deadlift. Mm. I went out and bought a belt. I thought that was going to make life easier. It didn't. No. And now all of a sudden I'm deadlifting more than I've ever deadlifted and I'm walking away from the gym happy, no pain, no drama, really feeling strong, even squatting, just knowing that it's okay to drop the weight mm-hmm. and work on form and technique rather than just keep pushing and pushing and putting more and more weight on the bar. Mm-hmm. So that's been my biggest win, I reckon, that ability to just to get better at what I'm doing, and hopefully that will mean less injuries in the future.
Less injuries is always more longevity.
Yeah.
Now, there might be some people listening to this podcast who have never done a challenge before. Do you want to quickly outline how you were able to get your squat analyzed and, you know, how you learned how to squat using this online program that we offer?
Okay. So, yeah, earlier this challenge, Coach Steve posted some pretty awesome videos, which is a new addition to the program. And it's actually been really, really, really awesome. Not just the squatting videos, but the whole lot, all the weekly videos. But I think you posted, I think it was Ben's squat, a video of Ben's squatting, and you went through frame by frame on the video showing us what we need to do, where we need to go, how we improve our mobility so we can squat deeper, and just those real cues that we could think about when we were in the gym squatting, and then being able to apply it to our own training and then take a video and send that back, and to actually get almost real-time critique from yourself and some of the other coaches was awesome. Because, I mean, there was one day where I posted something and one of you made a comment and I was still in the gym, so I was still able to go, oh, yeah, okay, I'll just tweak that and see how it goes. Mm. That was awesome. It was so good. Like I said, I've never really had someone critique my form to that extent that it's actually improved not only my technique but my ability to lift more.
Mm. Well, yeah, it's amazing to hear that, you know, we were able to help so many people online. I remember when I was first becoming a PT and I had a real hard time cueing people through exercise. I guess as a PT, you start to really think about the language you use and what cues you use and the difference between squeeze your glutes and stand up. Some people don't know how to squeeze their glutes, and a lot of people know, you know, these external cues of being able to stand up. And I started working in a private studio where we did group training. And I think what I learned from being a PT in group training was how you can use a person as a model as a good coaching tool for another person to watch. And that's, I think, where it gave birth to this online video analysis. Because if I was able to analyze Ben's squat in front of everybody, Ben, you could rewatch Ben doing a squat 100 times and apply the same principles to your own video. And I think the power of reflection is so important, because you can then look over your own technique, compare it to Ben's technique, compare it to the stuff that I was talking about with Ben, and you could do it to yourself. And you could watch that over and over and over again. And I think that's a really powerful way to help lots of people. And it was amazing to see so many of you and other challengers posting videos, because for every person that posted a video, there was probably another 100 people who didn't post a video who was watching those videos and learning from you, learning from me, coaching you, and as well as you getting advice on that, which is great to hear as from my side as a coach. And I'm glad that I was able to help you lift a lot of weight, not hurt your lower back, and prevent you from injury so you can train forever, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah. So, okay, so that was your biggest win, being able to lift more. Have you thought of your biggest challenge over the past 12 weeks?
I guess it probably wasn't more of a challenge, but one of the things that I started off with the tone and shape, because I had in my head that if I did get strong, I was going to turn into like this little ball of muscle and waddle around like I was riding a horse the whole time. And I had no real idea of the difference between the two. So I started off doing the first 4 weeks of tone and shape, and it wasn't until week four where I decided, I spoke to Chelsea, one of the ambassadors, and decided that maybe I should do get strong. I was a bit scared about that because I thought that I'm getting married in a couple of weeks and I'd already had my wedding dress made and everything like that. And I thought, oh my God, I'm going to change and then going to need another wedding dress and the whole lot. But she convinced me that everything would be okay and that I should give it a crack. So I did. And I've actually really enjoyed doing get strong. Mm-hmm. I don't have a great deal of body fat to lose now. So doing get strong actually hit all of the goals that I wanted to. So I guess just not knowing which program to do was probably a bit of a hindrance at the start. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I got a question. That is a common barrier or concern is probably a better word for a lot of females who are starting an exercise program. And a common thing that I hear all the time is, I don't want to put on a lot of muscle. I don't want to be a big ball of muscle. I don't want to look bulky. So could you tell us maybe some of your experiences as you transition into that Get Strong program, which is more of a resistance training based program, a weightlifting based program? Can you explain some of the experiences and changes that you found in your body when you went from like this Tone and Shape style program to the Get Strong style program?
Yep. So Tone and Shape was really good. I lost a lot of body fat. And then when I moved on to Get Strong, I've changed shape and I've continued the toning part of what's been left after all the fat came off, I guess. So I think I checked in, I did my measurements this morning, and over the course of the 12 weeks, I've put on, I think it's less than 500 grams, but I've lost about 21 centimeters all over. So just things tightening up, I guess bits of fat there I didn't necessarily recognize moving around, dropping dress sizes still, which is great, but also problematic because I'm so sick of buying new clothes.
Yeah.
Unlike most girls, I don't like shopping unless I'm shopping for gym stuff. Mm-hmm. So I find it really painful having to go out and find new clothes that fit properly now. So yeah, Get Strong is definitely not something to be afraid of. And I'm actually going to do Get Strong again next challenge.
Yep.
So I really enjoyed it, and just having a definition and everything else. I don't think once you've lost the fat that you want to lose, I think Get Strong is definitely the way to go.
Yeah. I feel like I see a change in the fitness industry at the moment, where maybe 5 or 10 years ago, there was such a big drive for the skinny look. And I guess that's reflected a little bit into some social medias like Instagram. Whereas now I feel like there's a growing increase in becoming strong. So there's the difference between being skinny and then now being strong. And from the back end, we look at some of the data, and in the past, the Tone and Shape was the most popular program, and then now it's starting to become this Get Strong program. And I think there's this mind shift from a lot of girls from I want to be skinny to I want to be strong. And it's cool to see that happening in you, where there's more of a focus on getting strong. And I've watched some of your videos, you're lifting a lot, you're doing handstands, you're looking strong and fit, and you're able to use your body in a way of different ways that I'm sure you probably never thought you were able to move, right?
Yeah, definitely. And just also having the energy and the fitness to be able to keep up with three kids. It's, I mean, they're not toddlers, so I'm not quite chasing them around, but it still takes a lot of effort to kind of get them all wrangled and in, you know, the right direction. And even having the energy to just go to work, come home, take them to dancing, go pick one up from netball, take the other one to karate. Like, it's just having the energy to do that and not wanting to fuel yourself with rubbish, just, oh, I need a bit of chocolate to keep me going. I need the energy, and thinking that that's even a thing, but that's where you get your energy from. But yeah, it's definitely, I think there's definitely a change of people going into that whole strength, at least women being more focused on strength. And I see that in the gym as well. It's a lot harder to get the weights equipment these days than it is to get a treadmill.
Yeah, yeah. Now, you mentioned that you've got a wedding in 2 weeks, is that right?
4 weeks today. 4 weeks
today. That's so exciting. Congratulations.
Thanks.
My question is, after the wedding and after the honeymoon, you know, what's your big long-term goal? Are we going to see you on a bodybuilding stage, or are you going to climb Mount Everest, or are we going to see you in a powerlifting competition? Like, what's Lana's big goal?
I don't actually know. I did, about 5 years ago, I did a really big ride from, I don't know if you know WA very well, but from Perth to Margaret River. And I really enjoyed that. And even though it was cardio based, I did it as a fundraiser and I really, really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
And I'd like to get back into riding a little bit more, which I haven't. I was riding my bike and I got hit off it a couple of years ago. And so I've kind of been a bit scared about getting back on the road, but I'd like to get back into that. I have a dream to come over and do the Great Ocean Road Ride that they have.
Yeah.
But I'm probably a few years away from that.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I'd like to do, I guess, is, again, for some reason cardio related, when I turn 40 in 3 years, 2.5 years, I'd like to go to Disneyland and do the Disneyland Marathon or one of the races.
Yeah.
Because I think they have like a 5, a 25 and a marathon. Just because I'm a big kid at heart and that's what I want to do.
Yeah. Well, you want to hear a fun fact about Coach Steve? Once upon a time, I used to work for Disney.
Oh no, really?
Yeah. So I worked
doing what?
I worked on the Disney Cruise Line. So I worked on a cruise ship, and my title was I was a recreation host. So I looked after the gym and the basketball courts and the swimming pools and like all the recreational facilities. So I sailed around on a cruise ship with, a Disney cruise ship with all the Disney characters and all the Disney themes and the movies and the music and the shows and everything in between. Yeah, so I've had my fair share of
time.
That's
so cool.
Land and Disney World in California. Yeah, so that would be cool. Doing the 5 or the 10K. And I think there is the marathon where you run around the park as a marathon.
That's
a pretty cool goal. Now, my final question here is, do you have any advice that you would give to A, current challengers, B, maybe people wanting to do a challenge, or C, people who are just wanting to improve their fitness and health in general? Like, do you have any advice for people?
I guess for all three of those categories, just to be consistent. And if you happen to have one bad day, it's fine. In fact, if you have one bad lunch, it's fine. You can stop at that bad lunch and get back on your afternoon snack or dinner time. Like, you don't have to go, I've stuffed it up. One bad day, I'm not going to do the next 10 weeks. Like, it's something that people say on one of the Facebook pages quite a lot, is it doesn't take you one lunch or one day to get to the place you currently are at. So just, it's going to take a while, and don't expect that one bad episode is going to ruin whatever you've got left of a challenge or just in life in general. And in terms of people who aren't doing it, I would highly recommend that you at least try it, because you've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. And also watch out, because it's addictive.
Yeah.
Which is, something I never really thought would happen. So when I did May last year, I was having an operation at the end of the year, so I stayed away from the challenge, but I still did what I'd learned. And then I came back in January and I thought, yep, I'm going to have May off. And it turns out I didn't have May off. And now I'm thinking, I might have September off, because day one is actually the day I get married. And now I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'll just start it a week later. So, yeah, it's definitely addictive, and it's such a great community. Everyone's so supportive. The coach is great. The program seems to be evolving every 12 weeks as well. Yeah, it's definitely worth the crack.
Worth the crack. I love it. Look, Lana, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for donating your time to be part of the Challenge podcast. And I will see you online. And if you're listening to this, go join the Max and Maxine Support Facebook group, and you can see some of Lana's posts. She's almost daily, and you go get your steps checked up by Lana. I love how you do that. And yeah, thank you so much for being part of the podcast.
That's okay. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.